is Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." Would you pray with me? Father, as we look at your word tonight, God, I pray that you would speak to us. For those who are unable to be here, who are watching, Lord, those who may not watch this until Sunday morning when we put it back on the internet, God, however they're viewing this, Lord, my prayer is that what is said tonight would speak to their heart, because it's from your word. So God, I pray that your spirit would speak to us through this time, and that what is said would be what he would have said, nothing more and nothing less. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Has there ever been anything in your life that you realize, you didn't realize how much you depended on it until you didn't have it? Or how much you relied on it, and you're like, this is something I take for granted. Maybe it's those mornings that you get in the car and you turn the key or push the button and nothing happens. Like, well, normally when I get in the car and turn the key and push the button, it starts. But for whatever reason, it's not. You don't think about it until it doesn't work, right? Maybe one day you walk out of your house and leave, but you forgot your cell phone. You never think about how much you use it until you don't have it. It might do some of us some good to leave it home every now and then. When I was younger, I had to learn a lesson like this. I didn't realize how much I took running water for granted. So when you live in the city, or you're at least connected to city water or county water, you always have water. Doesn't matter if the power goes out. But when you are on a well, the power goes out, so does your water. And see, when the first time I remember, because I know, I'm sure when I was very young or younger, we lived out on a farm, and so that probably was well water. But the first time I remember being on well water was when we moved to the house that my mom still lives in. And the lights went out, and I went to the bathroom and flushed the toilet. And that's fine. First flush is okay, right? Because there's water in the tank on the back of the toilet. But what I didn't realize was that that water doesn't refill. So the second flush is the problem, because there's no water for, so I learned that you don't have water. You go to get a glass of water, you turn on the faucet, nothing happens. You go to wash your hands or brush your teeth or take a shower, things that we do every day and not even think about it. But when the power went out, that was cut off. The same is true with people. We admire kindness, courage, patience, perseverance, success, brilliance, knowledge, generosity, and many other things. But when you ask somebody what they like about somebody else, dependability rarely makes the list. And the reason why is because you don't notice dependability when it's there. But you sure notice it when it's not. And as we will see this evening, the same is true of our dependability to the church. So what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about how we need to quit stopping by church and instead become dependably committed. As one person wrote, you won't experience the full benefits of church with partial attendance. And I realize that I am preaching to a group of people who is here on a Friday night. So I just want y'all to understand that I get it. A lot of y'all are thinking, we're here, man. Why are you preaching this to us? I think that we all need a reminder of this, though. But the first and main reason to be dependable is that dependability to the church is a big deal to God. And if it's a big deal to him, it should be a big deal to us. As we think of church attendance, I'm sure the first verse that comes to our mind is Hebrews 10:25, right? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we're to gather together to encourage each other. And the closer we get to Jesus' return, which is every day, we are to be gathering all the more. But this evening, I want to take a deeper look at the life of Jesus. And look at this verse from Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And listen to this next part. And as was his custom, his habit, his routine, something he did normally. What did he do? He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. So Jesus is modeling for us the importance of making gathering with God's people a regular habit in our lives. And in my mind, if Jesus did it, then I think that we need to do it too. But for us, so often when it comes to Sunday morning or other church gathering times, we just can't seem to make it on a regular basis. We may stop by or we may not. Something might come up. You know, years ago, and I know that a lot of people look back to the old days. I'm not there yet to say that when I was younger, those were the old days. But when I was a kid, attending church on Sunday morning didn't seem to be optional. Businesses were even shut down. I remember when places were closed on Sundays, and not just Chick-fil-A. Sunday was a day to be in church. It was a day that you were with not only your family, but your spiritual family. But that's changed. The commitment to being in church each week has diminished and is continuing to diminish for some. We are not as faithful to our spiritual families as we once were. As one pastor put it, you can be committed to church and not committed to Christ. But you cannot be committed to Christ and not be committed to the church. And this lack of commitment to the church is seen in attendance. And we wonder why churches are so small and there's not a lot of people gathering. Well, if you take a church that has 100 people in it and half of them miss one Sunday, you're going to have an average attendance of only 88 out of 100. You say, well, that's not bad. The problem is that nowadays the average is every other week. Most people attend church every other week. So a 100-member church would actually have an average attendance of about 50 to 75, somewhere in there. And so you're looking at this, and we see it here, right? I've said this to numerous people. If we had everybody here at the same time, man, this place would be packed. Church is having to compete with so many other things, though, with the weather, with out-of-town family, with special events, or the call of the river or the beach or the mountains. Pick your poison, whichever one you like. As a pastor, I want the weather to be warm enough for you to come to church, but not so warm that you go somewhere else. And not so cold that you stay home. I mean, look, I totally understand getting away. I believe that God wants us to rest. He wants us to get away. He wants us to spend time with family. But he also desires for us to be committed to him and to the spiritual family that we call the local church. He's looking for us to be the type of people who are dependable and committed to the church. Listen to Exodus 17, 8-2. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So Joshua's leading the people into battle. And Moses is climbing the mountain to hold up his staff in the air to signify the presence of God with his people. This is the same staff that was used to part the waters, that was used to get water from a rock, that was used for people to look at, and when they were bit by a serpent, they would see that. And so all of these things, this is the staff that he has. But I want us to focus on Aaron and Hur. They climbed the mountain with Moses. They had no idea how long they'd be up there. They had no idea what they would do up there. They had no idea what would happen when they got there. They were simply being the type of men that could be counted on. Moses would need them, and they needed to be there for him. They were dependable. You see, spiritual maturity is choosing what is right over what is easy. Please get this. Spiritual maturity is choosing what is right over what is easy. But for that to happen, we have to choose ahead of time that we will do that. Now, we heard this a lot when we were younger. When I was a kid, especially when it came to keeping yourself pure from sexual sin, we were told to, you have to choose not to do that before the choice comes. Because if you wait until the choice comes, you're susceptible to fall into doing whatever is being chosen there. You've got to make up your mind beforehand. But when we get older, we don't really think about things like that, right? Making decisions ahead of time. They made the decision ahead of time. One author has described what Aaron and Hur had as predetermined dependability. This means that they determined before what they knew what the conditions would be, that they would be dependable. We don't know what Moses wants, we don't know what Moses needs, but we're going to go and we're going to do whatever we can because we are dependable. So here's the thing. We have to decide in advance that for us and our family, that attending church is a non-negotiable. That it is a priority regardless of how great the weather is, who's in town, or what other event arises. And this is extremely important for us if we have children, grown or in the home. Because if they see that you're dependable to the church in a loose and casual way, then don't be surprised if they approach it in the same way. Children don't do what we say. They do what we do. So let's think again back to Aaron and Hur. They had no idea what they were doing on the mountain until Moses got tired. So Moses is there, he's raising the staff, and then he gets tired, right? Anybody ever done that? You just keep your hands up, or they used to have challenges where you'd like hold stuff like this, and you know, and I don't know for people who exercise, because obviously I don't. There may still be things that like that you do, but your arms get tired, and all of a sudden his arms are tired, and they start to fall. Well, when his arms start to fall, the other team starts to win. And they realize this, so they prop him up, and then they come and they hold his arms. And now his arms are up, but he's not holding it. They're holding his arms. They're holding him up. They're keeping him up, and they win the battle. Their spiritual family, their people, their nation needed them on that mountain. People were depending on their dependability. They chose what was right over what was easy. Because they could have come up with any excuse not to climb that mountain. In the same way, we can find all sorts of reasons to skip church. Again, I realize, please don't mishear me. There are vacations. There are other reasons why this happens. I'm not saying that these are wrong or that missing a Sunday is the end of the world, because it's not. But statistically, the number of times people attend church during the average month is dropping. And so it is going in the opposite direction of the way God wants it to go. So spiritual maturity is choosing what is right over what is easy. And I believe this includes our dependability at the local church level. It's easy to not come to church on Sunday morning. It's easy to not go out in the cold or in the dark or whenever things are happening at the church. It's easy to not get involved and to help in different programs and different ministries. But is it right? Spiritual maturity is choosing what is right over what is easy. And again, if Jesus made it a habit to be with God's people at the synagogue, then we should make the habit of being with God's people in church. So now what? What does this mean for you and for your life? When we become committed to the church, our dependability and consistency will help the church in several ways. First of all, it'll bring momentum. Part of building a thriving local church that touches the community is building a sense of momentum, a sense of, hey, God is doing something at that church. This type of momentum builds week to week and is dependent on our faithfulness. If people come by and they see, or they watch and they see that people aren't excited about what's going on, and people aren't going and people aren't being there, then that kills the momentum. When we start getting that momentum, though, lives are touched, people are changed, and God's kingdom advances because they see people excited about being together, about worshiping together, and they want to be a part of that. In the same way, that also builds community. The Bible teaches that we are better together. We need each other, and we grow in our faith as we do life together. This happens only when there is consistency. It's hard to build relationships with people you see every other week or every third week or whatever it may be. You may think for a moment that you don't need other people, but you do, because God made you that way. But you also have to realize that other people need you. It's not just that you need other people. Other people need you. Because there may be somebody that you will affect, encourage, or help that others may not connect with. There may be something in your life that speaks to something in their life that nobody else can understand, nobody else can speak to, nobody else can get on their level with. See, our church needs you. And needing you means you've got to be here. But it also helps with teamwork, because the local church, and again, the church isn't a building, it is the people, has the greatest calling on the planet, and that is to lead people into a relationship with Jesus. This is our mission, this is our calling, and something this big and this important needs everyone. It's an all-out team effort. And you can't be the type of player that stands on the sideline and expects everyone else to play in the game. You have to do your part, which includes being there week in and week out to welcome new people, to connect with people in the church, and to provide energy, hope, and love to everyone who enters into the building. You are a part of the team of this church, and this church needs you. And from a pastoral perspective, pastoring a church, I know from the outside, looks easy. I only work 2 hours a week, right? Pastoring a church is difficult, and inconsistency only adds to that difficulty. So help me by being someone who can be counted on, being someone who is dependable each week. Help me to be confident that each time I stand to preach, you'll be there cheering me on. And smile every now and then. And let me hear you every now and then. Not snoring, but amening and praising the Lord. Just be dependable. Make church a part of your regular weekly life. Attend church. Get involved. Worship with passion. Invite others. Welcome new people. Smile big. Laugh at your pastor's jokes, even when they're not funny. Be someone that your pastor, that your church family, and most importantly, that your Savior can count on. So if you're a Christian, that's the challenge, is to commit and be dependable to your local church by being here. If you're not a Christian, the good news tonight is that you can come to Him for salvation. God is a holy God. We are sinful people. And because of our sin, we cannot go before Him. If you look in the Bible, there's numerous accounts of people coming before the presence of God, and the overall theme is they fall on their faces because they are so unworthy to be in his presence. In some cases, it even says they fell on their face as dead men. That's how holy God is. That's how sinful we are. So we cannot go to God on our own. And in fact, if we don't have somebody help us eternally, we're going to be separated from God. But praise God, he sent his son, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus offers us a relationship with God. He gives us his righteousness and he pays for our sin. So now we have the righteousness of Christ and can have a relationship with God. And to receive that salvation, the Bible says that we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, then you will be saved. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful. Thankful for your word. Thankful for Jesus, who not only saves us, but was an example to us of one who made a habit of being with the people of God in the place of worship. God, I pray that we too would be committed and dependable in our support and our attendance and commitment to the local body. Father, as we come to a time of response, I pray that you would help us respond as your Spirit leads. God, if there's someone here who needs to commit themselves to being more faithful to the church, God, I pray that they would respond in that way. If there's somebody here who needs to respond by calling on the name of the Lord for salvation, I pray that they would do that. Lord, however they need to respond, however we need to respond, I pray that we would. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for all that you do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.